Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Oh, can you hear my kids playing in the background? They're really noisy today.
Yes, it's annoying, Thomas. It's very unprofessional. Shout out the window.
Oh, it's annoying. But the thing is, they're sort of playing quite happily. And if I shout at them, they might come and talk to me. So I'd rather just at a safe distance. So apologies.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fair. That's absolutely fair.
Some people find the sound of the children playing a nice harmonious thing, like a pleasant background noise. Some people genuinely enjoy that. Maybe not me. It's not for me. But some people do that.
No, that's fair. Yeah. Well, look, we're happy here on the Great Big Owl Isolation podcast where we do it from our own homes. Oh, what a slick little segue that
was. Beautiful segue, Tidge, from Cribbles. So, Dave, it's been a dramatic morning in the Price household.
Yes.
Huge, huge news. It was Ocado Day. Happy Ocado Day, everyone.
God, when did you order that?
Okay, so we did 2 weeks ago. Do you know how much we spent?
Fucking hell.
Well, oh, look, we've got an Andrew Cotter dropping in. Can you hear this? Listen to this.
Can you hear me?
I'm telling an absolute belter of an Ocado non-anecdote. It's pretty...
So am I joining in? Am I like that person at the party that sidles up to a group just as a joke is ending? And I join in and go, yeah, that was great.
Yeah. We're just going to stare at you. All right, fine. Thanks. Dave, I feel really self-conscious about my Ocado story now because, Dave, you'll vouch for me. Sometimes I do have great stories. This isn't one. This is not a great story, but I'm going
to
tell
you. No, and I'm yet to hear one on the podcast, but that's fine.
All right, fine. So Ocado Day, right? How much do you think I spent on the Ocado? That's my first question to you.
Okay, we're both playing now. Yeah, Andrew, would you like to...
Yeah, join
like
in, Andrew.
Wager guess.
Great stuff. Ocado, how much did you spend on it? Right, okay. Is this a weekly Ocado?
Good questions to ask. So I should tell you, we are a family of four plus a dog. We haven't, because I've been sharing my Ocado with my mum in South Wales. She is self-isolating, so she has been having every other week. So we are now bi-weekly Ocadists. So with that in mind, we've also been getting more than we normally would. We've gone a little bit over the top because we're eating more at home. It's quite scary, the amount.
I'm going to say... I'm one of those terrible middle-class people that I don't know the price of anything. I'm going to say £3,500.
Okay,
no, I'm going to say, bi-weekly. I think twice a week you are spending about £90. £100. No, £110. £120. That's my final answer.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much for sidling up to this chat. Dave, Andrew's gone in at £120. Over to you, Dave Cribb.
£500.
Oh, why'd you ruin the story by going in too high?
It's
the worst when people do that.
Yeah.
It was just short of £300.
I know, but yeah, the sting's been absolutely taken out of that diet of £500. Yeah.
You've neutralised an already very neutral story. Anyway... The thing that had happened was, Dave, and now whoever this man is who sidled up, Andrew Seidel, we like a ready meal curry, right, in our house. They go down very well. Love a korma, love a butter chicken. They'd both exploded in separate bags as had two eggs in another bag.
So it was every bag ruined, basically.
It was a korma apocalypse, kornpocalypse.
It almost works, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't really. It was an absolute disaster, and it stinks. Like, it's strong, garlicky curry vibes over everything. And no one wants, for example, what we've now got, a melon caked in korma.
If I had sidled up to this group story at a party, not only would I have drifted away without joining in, but I think other people would also have just sort of faded away, and you'd be left on your own with one chap from the office telling the story to.
Probably a junior chap from the office who doesn't want to leave.
Exactly, who's just sycophantic and laughing uproariously at everything you say. Oh, melon covered in korma. Can I have a raise?
That is the most Dave's laughed during the entire recording of this podcast. Well, Andrew, I would say it's a pleasure to have you here. I mean,
it's
an aggressive start. You've come in and you've dismantled my opening anecdote that I had ready. I'm only saying it because my hands still smell of curry. I really stink of curry, so apologies for that.
How are you, Andrew Cotter? How's your lockdown?
It's, you know, it's like it is for everybody, isn't it? It's just amazing. It's just the sheer thrill of doing the same thing every day. Yeah, I think in the first couple of weeks, everybody was saying, this is not going to be a problem at all. I can do this. I've got this. And, you know, all sorts of companies were saying that as well. We've got you. We're in this together. And now everyone's just going, when's it going to end? Is it going to be next week? Oh no, it's going to be next year. Tremendous. So it's not great, is it? And you're trying to give variety to your lives, but really there isn't. So yeah, it's okay. It's okay is the answer.
Yeah, that's the other problem as well, Andrew. I don't know if obviously you're finding this because people ask you how you are, and I have nothing to report. I'm really, as see above, I'm running low on small talk.
Which isn't good for podcasts either because they are just small talk, aren't they, really? And the best podcasts are just chat, just good chat between two great mates and with a good dynamic, which clearly you guys have, but then during this you just kind of,
well, it's a chat triangle now, isn't it?
It's a chiangle.
Yeah,
changle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I don't know. It's you're right. It's, you know, what have you been up to? Well, I've been up to the same thing that I've been up to for the last that's my feeling about lockdown, which I think is shared by a lot of people. It's just
So we should say, Andrew, that lockdown for you, well, it must have been ups and downs because obviously you've lost all of your work for now, at least. You know, there's very little sport to commentate
right.
on. Sorry, mate, I'm don't want to break it. Come on, surely you'd come to terms with it by now. 6 weeks in, for God's sake.
You have nothing. You have absolutely nothing.
Can we do a Cotter audit so we can really get a sense of the Cotter lips and just exactly how much commentary work you've had to walk away from?
We've walked away from each other. Well, so the very end of the Six Nations, then the US Masters Golf, the London Marathon, the Open Championship Golf, Wimbledon, Queens, the Olympics, that'll be next year, the European Athletics Championships, the World Athletics Championships, the World Indoor Athletics Championships, which was originally scheduled for the end of February in China. That was the first to go, unsurprisingly. I thought that's not going to happen. But at that point, when that went, we were all thinking, well, we might lose a couple of events that are actually taking place in Wuhan. But apart from that, this is going to be fine.
This thing isn't going to spread.
It's kind of spread, that's our scientific analysis of it. It's kind of spread. We should be the experts flanking the government minister. This is kind of spread.
It's caught on a bit.
If you look at
it?
The chart here, first slide, please, you can see it's kind of spread. I'm missing out lots of events there. So a big vacuum of sport and work, which I'm trying to fill with other things.
Yeah, so obviously you've got your podcast, the Pepper Pod.
Yeah, the financially supported Pepper Pod, so that's great. I listen to this podcast anyway regularly, but I just before coming on, I listened to one. You know, and at the top of this, you've got Dan Snow's podcast, sponsored by Microsoft. Obviously, and I love Dan, calls everyone dude, nice guy, but, you know, sponsored by Microsoft. And I'm, you know, looking for a sponsorship from Chicken Cottage or something. It's just, there's nothing coming in. And even though it is, and dare I say it myself, it is hitting the heights in terms of numbers, but nobody wants to invest at the moment in sponsorship. So
no. And also, I worry about why Microsoft are investing in Dan's podcast. Like, do people say, how did you hear about Microsoft? Oh, I only heard about them when I listened to Dan Snow's podcast.
I'll give this Microsoft thing a go.
Mad, isn't it?
Maybe we should be really just aiming at your Googles, your Apples, just people that you think wouldn't want to necessarily advertise, but the television. Yeah. Cabin Fever, sponsored by television.
All of television.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah. I know, exactly. So, so I've got a few things going on. I've actually got to write a book. So someone approached me to write a book, so I'm going to be concentrating on that for the next few months.
Oh, great. What's it about?
Romantic fiction. No, it's it's about the dogs, as they are now known.
Yes.
The dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so can I just say, cards on the table here, I am Team Mabel, just so you know, Andrew. I hope that's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, she, I mean, they're very different personalities, so that says a lot about you, that she is a little bit needy and clingy, and she is desperate for affection, whereas Olive is this distant, aloof figure sometimes and can survive on her own a bit more. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely Mabel in this situation. Yeah, that's me. You've got me.
I'll take Olive then. I'll be the Olive of the podcast.
Does Olive yawn a lot? Because if it is, that's bang on.
Does Olive sleep in till about 11 a.m. every morning?
So the Mabel and Olive thing that's happened, I mean, who knew, you know, when you, when your career came to a crashing halt?
Again, thank you.
And, you know, you must have just stared through the tears at your dogs, and yet your dogs were looking back at you, and inside they were saying, we're ready for you, Daddy. We are your future. Bank on us.
Weird. Yes, no, they would look at me crying on the sofa and saying, this doesn't affect me. It affects us if we don't get our kibble, but we're still going to be able to get that. So his massive distress doesn't really bother me that much. Mm. So the whole thing has been absolutely bizarre, odd, weird, very, I mean, just remarkable to see it all unfold the way it has, because I the day that all those sporting events, or a lot of them, went, the marathon, the Masters, the end of the Six Nations, I was getting ready to go down to Cardiff to do Wales Scotland, and all these events were cancelled, and I sort of jokingly said, you know, what am I going to commentate on now, you know, parties, bar mitzvahs, whatever. And then off the back of that, I thought, oh, I'll just do some mundane commentary. So I commentated on my dogs eating the breakfast, and then I didn't put it out because I thought, oh, it's all right, but it's not all that. And then there's a guy called Nick Heath who does lots of sort of shorter parody commentary. They're sort of, you know, Partridge-esque in their yeah. humour. And he had some great success with that. So then I thought, well, I can't put this out now because it just looks like I'm aping these. So I didn't. And then after a while, I thought, you know, I'll put it out, and just because I was bored the day I put it out. And so I put it out, and it went absolutely whammo, mad, whammo, the technical term. And that was the first one. That was the one that people were getting excited because Ryan Reynolds was retweeting it and messaging me and things like that. And I couldn't remember which of the Ryans he was, whether it was Gosling or Reynolds. So I had to look. Well, I can't. Can you? I can't.
No, you have to check. Always a quick reference on a Ryan.
So I was very close, very, very close to saying, oh, thanks, mate, love you in La La Land, and they would have just come back, that's Gosling. So that went mad, and then I left it for a while. But after that, I mean, the messages that come in and the emails come in, because I had one of my email addresses on my Twitter account, you know, in the days before all this, when you're hoping that someone will contact you with a massive work, you know, offer.
Imagine, yeah.
Hi, this is Microsoft. We'd like Andrew to spread the news of our product, which we're trying to get going. So then I thought, well, I'm not going to put out another one. But then the clamour kept coming. And I said, who am I to deny the public? So I put out another one. And I thought, this difficult second album, this will actually get a few retweets, but it won't go as mad as the first one. And it's within 10 hours, it had got the numbers the first one had got in 5 days. And the first one's gone up to about 11 million views now. And the second one, you know, just went absolutely ballistic.
Is there an awkward rhythm to your Twitter now whereby you put up a video of the dogs and then you see your followers go up, and then you put up a link to a podcast about golf? What happens to your numbers then?
Oh, I just don't want to think about it.
Right, okay.
Except I do, because you... I think all sensations regarding social media are heightened during this weird time that we're in, because people are focusing on it so much. So any emotion you experience through social media, whether it's good or bad, is exaggerated because that's what we have now, social media to contact people. And also, if you're not doing your normal job, you've got far too much time in your hands to focus on things which aren't that important in the grand scheme of things. So, I mean, before all this nonsense, I had 45,000 followers. And after the first video, it went up to 86,000. And then after the second video, it's gone up to, you know, 230,000 followers. And if you think that, the danger is in thinking that that is real or means anything, but you cannot help but watch it and go, oh, I'm amazing. Look at this. Yeah. Look at how much people approve of me and what I'm doing. And it becomes a little bit druggy, and you think, oh, I've got to keep doing stuff like this. But you can't. You shouldn't. Every day I get messages saying, right, when's the third video coming? Please give us a third video. And there were loads of lovely messages and nice messages which genuinely touched me, and people saying, you know, this made me laugh for a bit and I'm having a crappy time in lockdown at the moment. This made me smile. Please do another one. Mm. And so you do think, I will do another one, but you can't do another one if it's not funny, because it just crashes and burns.
Dave, if only we had that approach to this podcast, we would have stopped 28 episodes ago. I mean, but that is the problem. So you must have, are you videoing them all the time, or do you sit down and you're like, right, come on, guys, I need you now, dogs. What happens?
Do something funny. But the worst thing is if you were to do something contrived, and people are saying, why don't you get them doing an obstacle course? I say, no, that that's not the humour of it.
The
humour of it
is
in that it's sporting commentary over a mundane activity that dogs just do. And so, I mean, the amount of people as well who've sent me videos, as another story, but the amount of people who've sent me videos of their dogs doing stuff for the horses or whatever, saying, please commentate on this. I said, no,
Well, hang on.
What you're asking me to do is my job for free.
Yeah, no, but let's look hard at this right now, the for free business. Surely, Andrew, you say, yeah, sure, I charge £50 per video, obviously all going to a good cause, NHS thingy, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
NHS Cotter. There's an opportunity there. I'm just looking into new markets for you.
Obviously no. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that for the amount of... It takes quite a lot to think of what to say that might be amusing over a... And anyway, I just wouldn't do that. So that sounds like you could edit this together. So you could say, with all the money going to NHS, me going, I just wouldn't do that.
We've got our scoop. Done it.
Yeah. But, I mean, there have been lots of strange job offers.
Go on.
Somebody doing online shopping, for example, they came up, our company said, could you do a funny commentary on somebody going to their computer and making an online purchase? No, I couldn't do that. I could do it. It would just be awful and would cheapen me for short-term monetary gain. But
And the problem is?
Yeah, and betting companies, they've come in a big way.
Please don't.
No, I won't work with sports betting companies. So, and I don't mean that to sound really sort of, I don't really like that sort of business and that what it can do to a lot of people. So that's my serious moment.
No, I agree. Completely agree. Yes.
So there we are. I wouldn't like that association.
It's quite stressful though. I'm sorry. So I don't want to sound a bit negative now, but you've got to come up with some gold off the back of, because you've...
Very stressful.
Yeah.
It's very, genuinely, and I'm being serious here briefly, I've found it all very stressful.
Yeah.
Because I would like to do another one, but I don't want it to, it just wouldn't be, you know, and you'd get the first comments coming out and going, because everything, I promise you, every single comment, and there have been about 28,000 messages have come to me on Twitter on the two videos, and there were two in the first video from people who said, oh, you're clearly starving your dog deliberately for, you know, comic gain. And they had, but they had Trump avatars as their pictures, so I dismissed those.
Bleach lickers, as we call them.
Every other message was positive, and I wouldn't want to put something out that wasn't quite so good and have the first comments coming in going,
It's all, what's happened is, using as a stand-up myself, Andrew, what you've done is you've smashed your first two gigs. And, you know, I think my first gig, I absolutely rinsed it. And I thought, I'm going to be the best stand-up of all time. And then I died pretty solidly for about 8 years. So I don't want to sow that anxiety into you, but I just think you've got to enjoy it, right? Just sit back and let the magic happen. If it happens in August, so be it. We'll just wait. They're so good, we'll wait.
I was walking the dogs this morning, and they suddenly, as if they knew that I didn't have my phone with me, produced the most beautiful minute and 20 seconds of stuff. It was just perfect, because it was just normal dog behaviour, but it was just perfect. Yeah. And they even had a natural denouement and finish to it, and then trotted out, as would have been stage left, out of the camera. You know, you bastards. So I said, if we could just all remember our marks, all remember exactly what we were doing.
Good rehearsal, everyone, yeah.
Because I promise you, it would have been... I mean, I was watching and thinking, this would have been so, so good.
What did they do? What were they doing?
It was the way they were running after each other and playing, and then falling over slightly, and then one of them just absolutely galloping away from the other, not realising the other had stopped chasing quite some time ago. She was still throwing in all her escape moves, and then a bit of a brawl, and then... Anyway, I don't want to give too much away, because this might happen. They might do it again tomorrow.
What you need to do, you've got to put a GoPro on yourself, Andrew, and just film everything.
I've got 14 cameras set up tomorrow on the walk. I've got the OB, the film and TV catering unit, coming in. And the dogs are in their dressing gowns, sitting in their chairs, just waiting to come on.
Is there a car?
But what you say there, you know, about it being sort of stressful and strange, that is the overwhelming feeling of it. It was exciting when it happened, but then you get dragged into it too much, and it takes over your mind, and you're thinking about it all the time. Mm. And because it might lead to some work opportunities, it might lead to some exciting... And then when you get, you know, Mark Hamill or Julianne Moore or Ryan Reynolds, you know, all these people, and comedians that I've always respected as well, like Lemmy and, David Schneider and John Ronson, you know, all these people... saying, oh, that was brilliant. Kevin Bridges, you know, is that, and it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but he's a very, very successful comedian. And he was saying, oh, this is genius. Yeah. And then you start to think, oh, maybe I am a genius. Maybe I am. And then you realise after a while that all the noise, all the voices slip away a bit, and you're left realising that, oh, no, I'm not a genius. I did two funny dog videos, and that's it. And here I am watching TJ Hooker in the afternoon.
I would suggest that all comics have the same thing. Or knowing the stand-up psyche as well as I do, all comics have the same thing. And you are, there is brilliant. The stuff you've done on those videos is brilliant. And all comics have those moments where they find themselves watching Loose Women thinking, I am just a pointless person wearing, you know, in my dressing gown. But for example, things like the high tariff hold, that's now become part of the dog owner's lexicon. I got a text from my mate Alex with a picture of his dog holding a bone in the high tariff hold. And he went, here's Frankie with the high tariff hold. It's beautiful. It's in now. That's in. You can't take that back now, Andrew. It's done.
Some people have said, They do want, they've got their children wander around going, tasting absolutely nothing. but again, that's all intoxicating. And you think that, oh, you know, I've done, I mean, can you imagine what it must be to multiply that by a million and have done, created something like The Office, and then you do extras or whatever? You know, that, to do these little stupid dog videos, you get a tiny fraction of that feeling, and you think, oh, I've got to do another one. I've got to do another one, because, you know, that feeling will continue and I'll keep on doing this forever more. And it leaves you feeling rather empty.
I would say that the comics and the people who make things like The Office and stuff, they've made them in a different world, a less viral world, where it was just about producing something good and doing something they loved. Whereas what you've dipped into is the madness of the YouTuber who has to do something and look at how many people have clicked, subscribe, I need to see my numbers. And I think you have to ignore the madness and just think about the, and this sounds, I don't know where I'm going with this, Dave, but the purity of it being funny. Yeah. You've done that and just forget about the numbers. And then I think you'll find some semblance of normality, and the white noise of the clicks will go away a bit.
I hope so. He said, crying again. Yeah, the dog stared at me with tears, thinking, why is he upset at now? He's upset all the time.
Yeah, we thought he was happy again.
Really? Cabin FE83709. Oh,
that's our Twitter name. I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic. Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page? It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question.
If
you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosecco.
Available on all your podcast apps.
Can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's the Bill connection here? Because I did look at a few episodes and say there's a lot of Bill stuff.
Dave, I'll let you take this one.
There's a lot of the Bill, Andrew. So it's fair to say we started doing this podcast. This is sort of our isolation podcast. And, you know, we'll put our cards on the table. We've said this to everybody that listens. It's not like there's swarms of content to be devoured at the moment and things to discuss, unless we want to talk about Corona 24/7. So we've been sort of spreading our wings into various other avenues. And my flatmate, a man by the comedy name of Cornelius Mendez, who is in fact just a middle-class man from South London, but sounds like a Colombian drug lord, had chosen as his binge watch of lockdown, The Bill, from the start, on YouTube, in his words, because it's ad-free. There's nobody's even put the ads on YouTube yet. So so we thought we'd track that in the way that one might track, you know, the current right. binge watch of choice. And so we've been catching up on what's been happening with in the Bill 20 years ago. And it's fucking mad, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Tell Cornelius Mendes to look at the credits at the end of quite a lot of the Bill episodes and see if the director was Tom Cotter. That's all I'll say about that.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, can't be all you're saying it. As previously advertised, we don't have much to talk about on this podcast, yeah. So you must expand on any.
No. My dad was a television director. Directed The Bill, Casualty, Ballycus Angel, all these things and various things. Wonderful. So he did a lot of the Bill episodes, but he would have been late 80s, so you may be after. Would he have been late 80s? I'll have to ask him.
And you'll have to get him on our podcast.
this is all we want.
This is huge. Okay,
I'm not sure he would quite get. You know, he's a funny man, my dad, but I'm not sure he would quite get. Get cabin fever, obviously it's amazing.
There's a lot to get.
Crucially, does he have Jim Carver's phone number? Because that's just a fact.
Oh no, he would have. Well, if they haven't changed the numbers, I don't know. This was all in the days before mobile phones as well. So yeah, I'm sure he would have contact details for all sorts of people. Bill Murray, he was a bad lad. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
I was going to say,
Bill Murray was in it.
Is that where Bill Murray started?
Are you doing your Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling thing again?
Exactly. No. Bill Murray was the
Don Beach.
Yeah, but he enjoyed doing it. So any good episodes, then if he did any episodes that you don't like, don't tell me about it. But
no, absolutely not. As ever on this podcast, when something gets mentioned, I've done a quick Wikipedia deep dive, and now I'm on Billy Murray, the former Bill actor's Wikipedia. Do you know Andrew Cotter, or anybody, in fact?
Well, me, yeah.
Who?
No one else here, Dave, but yeah.
Yeah, how Billy Murray got his start in acting? That's a good quiz question that nobody will ever ask in a pub quiz.
I think in real life he was a bit of a rogue in his past.
Okay, I'll narrow it down. Who paid for Billy Murray to go to drama school?
Oh.
His probation officer? I don't know who it was.
Go bigger.
So a member of the royal family? A prime minister?
No, go more rogue.
Was it Microsoft?
Got it in one. No, unbelievably, the Cray twins paid for Billy Murray to go to drama school.
They weren't probation officers.
Very, very famously, not no. Well, there you go. That's a good fact, to be fair. That is, one of the most interesting facts I've learned about the Bill in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah. Tell Cornelius that, please.
I think Bill Murray's daughter is an actress.
Hustle.
Hustle, yes, that's it. Yeah, the dark hair, yes, that's it.
Oh, and Dexter, bloody hell.
Which one was she in Dexter, then?
Lila Tourney.
I love Dexter.
In season 2 of Dexter, that's all I've got for you.
Oh, amazing. Mm. Amazing. Can't believe the content we're whistling at today, guys.
Mm. Also, here's a vague connection I found through whipping through your episodes. Richard Schiff gets a mention.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Huge fans.
I now have two Richard Schiff connections, one being that he was a big fan of the dog videos, obviously, as was Bradley Whitford.
Oh, amazing. Oh, Donna!
I wanted Sheen to get in touch. Come on, Sheen. I like these videos, but I don't
like
you.
Come on, Jed.
Anyway, but no, I played golf with Richard Schiff once.
You did?
I played golf with, this is a Partridge story, because it's like, and I played golf with Peter Purvis and Bill Oddie. It was a four ball of me, Richard Schiff, Alan Wells and Henry Cooper a few years ago. And needless to say, I had the last laugh. So it was, he was doing a play in London, Richard Schiff, called Underneath the Lintel, I think it was. Anyway, he was very nice. He liked his golf. He still likes his golf. And I remember it fondly.
You've sort of skirted over. So Richard Schiff was doing a play in London. Fine, I can accept that. Richard Schiff likes golf. Mm. Sure, fine. And then we jump to Richard Schiff playing golf with Andrew Cotter.
I think it was for charity. Again, that's the kind of guy I am. But it was just, and I ended up in
not
this,
the NHS though. Eh?
Yeah, no, I won't do that.
Which all brings us back, Andrew, to your podcast, The Pepper Pod. So that's the smooth segues in which we operate here on Cabin Fever has done incredibly well. So tell us all about that, please, if you would. Because our listeners, if they like nothing else, it's a bloody podcast, I tell you that.
And, you know, they love golf, all of them. So it's interesting. Like most things, it is about a subject, but a lot of the chat on it is not about that subject. Yeah. Because I think that's the most entertaining ones are just the dynamic of two people talking nonsense. And that sounds simple, but when it's done well enough...
It takes tremendous skill to do well.
It takes tremendous skill. So yeah. It does take a bit of planning, you think about it, but so this guy, Eddie Pepperell, who is a very good golfer. I mean, you know, he was right. He's about 64th in the world at the moment, which in golf terms is...
He's off scratch, isn't he? He's probably off scratch.
That's slightly better. Yeah. I think if you give him a handicap, he'd be about plus eight. So,
not bad.
Yeah, so, he's finished sixth in the Open and third in the Players' Championship. And he's not worrying about having to do, you know, ads for online shopping at the moment. He's he's living off the fat of his earnings for a while.
There's been quite a good few videos doing the rounds, actually, of golfers during lockdown. Like Padraig Harrington's good, Luke Donald's doing good ones as well. Are you watching?
Yeah, they do. They're all doing a lot of stuff. And again, it's that peering into their own houses and thinking, that's... What an enormous house they have.
Yeah, like, nice kitchen, Lee. Yeah,
it's all about getting passed on these challenges. And I think I mentioned it on our own pod. You know, these challenges where you get passed it on Instagram and say, do the Keepy Uppy challenge or do this challenge. And everyone's doing it in their garden or in their kitchen or whatever. And I started to film one in my garden and then I saw the rushes and I just thought, that looks terrible. My garden is tiny and unimpressive and people will think less of me. And as you've probably gleaned already, I care about what people think about me, so I'm not putting that out.
It's weird how something about lockdown has opened up a lot of people's private spaces to public consumption now. Yeah. Everyone's having to film at home. This is true.
I know. And do you arrange, you know, these books behind me, that's Proust and Dostoevsky. Yeah, I'm just actually in the middle of this one.
Classic. Yes, exactly.
I'm like, I always think I don't know if people watch Family Guy. I'm Brian from Family Guy because I'm a total dilettante. I'll claim some knowledge about lots of subjects, but just scratch a little bit beneath the surface. Ask me one more question about that subject, and I'll go. pertaining to I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I know the name of the book, and I know one of the characters because I read about it online. So.
I think I speak for both Tom and myself when I say that is us to a T. I mean, that you could not describe the two of us.
Similar to my foreign language ability as well. So French, for example, like. Bonjour, ça va? And I'll sound quite convincingly French. And then as soon as we go beyond maybe three, as soon as the conversational rally gets beyond three, scuppered, done, over.
It's so dangerous that half of my family, my grandfather was German on my mother's side. And so I know a little bit of German. And then I'll go, if I'm in Germany, I have the stock phrases that say, my grandfather was German. I still have many relatives in the Munich area. And then they just rattle off. They think, aha, tremendous. We have a fellow Teuton and we are going to... And I just nod wisely and go, aber natürlich, and then walk away.
Yeah.
Try and get out of there before they uncover me because I care about what people think.
Yeah.
Anyway, the golf podcast.
Sorry,
the golf podcast. Come on, let's get back to that.
A lot of golfers are so focused on their sport that they might not be the best read people in the world or have many cultural reference points, whereas Eddie does. So, and I thought he'd be quite interesting to talk to and talk with. And it came about before lockdown. The original idea was, we'll talk a bit about the tournaments of the weekend, a bit of nonsense chat, preview the week ahead, and off you go. And instead, it's now, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
So we just ramble on for about an hour or so, but nothing.
And you're going to keep going, right? So when the golf season starts up again, when is that going to happen, do you think? What's your
hunch on that? When is that going to happen? Yeah. Well, in America, they're saying, you know, they're going to get going in June. So, looking forward to that. But the Ryder Cup is one of the big things in September. They've already pushed the Masters back to November. I mean, that's
an April
event. You
can't do the Ryder Cup without a crowd, though, can you?
Well, they're talking about it now. So, the mutterings are getting louder and louder. So... We shall see. It's just fascinating. I mean, I think for the mental well-being of people, they've realised that sport in any form, actually, even though we all thought it was trivial and pretty unimportant, is more important than we thought, because it gives people... You know, we're talking about how the tedium of doing the same thing every day, but if you've got a bit of different sport to watch or whatever, then suddenly it just eases the psychology of it a little bit.
Yeah, it's an escape valve for so many people. But then, you know, you've just invented the sport of dog watching, so it goes full circle, you see, when needs must.
Needs must. Oh, game three of the dog run. Yeah,
I can't wait for game three. I can't wait. But to be clear, Andrew, I'm happy to wait. Even if it's August, I'm happy to wait.
I, I just get the feeling that some people aren't. And then, yeah. What if they unfollow me?
They're not
what
the true
if they
fans.
Unfollow me?
Look, just think of all those, you know, you've got all those books on your shelf which you pretended to read. Think of think of a Donna Tartt book. You know, it takes her 12, 15 years to do a new book.
Ah, yes, The Secret History. I'll name one of the characters in The Secret History. Is there one called Bunny or something in the series?
Yeah, that'll do. Exactly.
Yes, that's a tremendous book. Andrew, what particular part of that book did you enjoy? I mean, the college, university days.
That's exactly my knowledge of it as well.
Days of yore? No, I don't know.
There was a car crash, wasn't there, I think, in the first one. And that's about all I've got. That's about all I've got. So, yeah, Jonathan Friedland, ditto. Anyway, be them. Don't be Jack Reacher, okay? Don't be Lee Child.
A guilty secret that I've read most of those books.
We're obsessed
with Jack
How
Reacher.
Humankind has made many mistakes, but one of the greatest of all time was Tom Cruise being cast as Jack Reacher. What's that about?
This brings me to something that I meant to talk about on the podcast last week, weirdly, and didn't because apparently we had too much content. But I mean, it was obviously dreadful, but I've obviously watched both the films anyway. But did The Rock last week, or maybe the week before, did this whole Instagram video about how he put himself up for that role and it was the biggest disappointment of his life when The Rock didn't get it?
What?
But he wouldn't be right either, because Jack Reacher wasn't muscle bound like that. Jack Reacher was strong, but he was just tall and sort of naturally strong.
So who do you cast then? Who do you go for then? Who is your Jack Reacher? The best question I've ever asked.
Oh, that is a very good question. Yeah. I'm going to think about that now.
I feel like if The Rock had been dressed like Jack Reacher, though, aka hadn't been able to show off his muscles and was just in sort of baggier clothes,
he's too big.
He could have got away with it.
He's too big. He's not.
But he's definitely better than Tom Cruise, guys. That's what we're
he's
saying.
He's definitely. Right? Oh, wow, absolutely. Bill Murray from The Bill is better than Tom Cruise.
Bill Murray from Ghostbusters is better.
I'm now thinking of it. There aren't that many amazingly tall, strong actors.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Well, listen, guys, I've got an idea. If you can think of who would be the best Jack Reacher, why not give us a phone call on Twitter? Here's the number. Stand by.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, that's our Twitter name.
That's some excellent content for us again for tomorrow. Who would play Jack Reacher? All I can think of now is sort of, yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because there's not many actors that fill that role.
Vince Vaughn? Does that work? Vince Vaughn? Is he too sort of comedy?
You know who would have been great back in the day? Bernard Breslau. There we are. Jack Reacher. Our one tall actor of the 60s and 70s. They've got all tall roles.
Well, hang on, which one was
Bernard Breslau.
What's his name? Bernard?
See, this is when I talk to Eddie Pepperell, who's 29, and I'm 46, and I say Charles Hawtrey, and he goes, no idea.
Yeah.
I go, come on. Joan Sims?
Hey, Bernard Breslau, English comic actor, best remembered as a member of the Carry On team. Do you know where he died?
Off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head. He was 2 metres. Do you know where he died?
Was it Regent's Park?
Regent's Park. Dave, how do you know that? Regent's Park Open Air Theatre. I think he died
on
stage.
You guys are quick on the... This is all happening live, and you're very, very quick on the Google searches.
No, we're just Stephen Fry. We've just got encyclopedic knowledge just banging around inside our heads.
It's Microsoft.
We've got a team of researchers and talking in our ear at all points.
On stage.
People who died on stage. Tommy Cooper.
Yes.
Roy Kinnear died during the filming of... What did he die during the filming of?
Oh, God, yes.
It was like an epic Robin Hood or something like that. It was not Sir Robin Hood. You can Google it now.
The Return of the Musketeers, I think it was, wasn't it?
Right, okay. Well remembered. Return of the Musketeers. D'Artagnan and the Muskahounds. I love that cartoon. Anyway,
great stuff.
It's like tedious links through and through, isn't it? I'm a big fan of this. This is what this podcast can just become. We just name someone at the start and then we just talk on subjects as we go. We've gone through celebrity... We've gone through from Jack Reacher to The Rock to celebrity deaths to D'Artagnan in the space of 3 minutes.
Well, listen, Jack Reacher-wise, can I just say, I don't want to boast here, guys. I interviewed Lee Child. I actually got to meet the guy. And we talked about Tom Cruise. Well, I say we talked about it. He wouldn't talk about it.
I mean, he must have had a... You would have, as an author, seeing your books made into a film, most of them have approval as to who is going to play various characters. Mm. Yeah. Or maybe just sign that authority and right away for a bit more money.
Yeah.
Because, J.K. Rowling, I think, was heavily involved in all the Harry Potter films, as she would be. Mm. But maybe Child just said, I don't care. Give me the money. You can have Danny DeVito.
I don't wish to disparage your interviewing technique, Tom, but I have also read an interview with Lee Child where he does talk about it.
Oh, no, it wasn't an interview. I just saw him in the street.
I think the story there is that he's basically done an interview since going, that was definitely wrong, but I got a bit swept up and excited that I could be friends with Tom Cruise, basically, is what happened.
Lee, that's the feeling. He's describing the feeling I've had. You get swept along in the excitement. Yeah. And if somebody wanted to make a film of Olive and Mabel and they said, we want a Great Dane to play Mabel, I would say, yeah, you're fine. Yeah, that's great. Famous Great Dane. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
Peter Schmeichel.
He stopped doing them, though. You know, Lee Child isn't going to do this year's one. His brother's taking over the franchise.
What do you mean, this year's one? Does he do one a year?
Oh, guys, come on. Call yourselves Jack Reacher fans. So Lee Child's done one a year.
I didn't. At no point did any of us call ourselves Jack Reacher fans.
I know for a fact that's how Dave self-labels. That's how he self-identifies.
Oh, well, I know how, because how Lee Child started is absolutely wild, because he got fired from, I think, BBC...
Granada.
Granada, wasn't it? Yeah, he got fired from Granada.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on a minute. This is terrible. Is Lee Child not American?
Oh, Andrew. He's from the Midlands, but he's lived in America since the early noughties. And that's when he got fired, and he's always been obsessed with Americana, as you can tell if you've read any of his books, obviously. Yeah. And he's got this incredible sort of Brummie. He's from Coventry, actually, sort of, but his accent goes kind of American at the same time. It's weird. It's wild. Any interviews you can find with him, have a watch.
So he's basically Jeff Lynne, is that right?
Yeah, totally.
Brummie. This is great. To inform, educate, and entertain, Lee Child is from the Midlands.
There it is. We're reething the hell out of this podcast. But yeah, he was made redundant from Granada, started writing a book out of boredom, very much the lockdown thing, Andrew, and maybe this is something to track. And then he starts writing the new book every year on the same day he wrote the first book.
1st of September.
Wow.
True story. And he also flies by the seat of his pants. When he writes his books, he does not know what's going to happen. He just writes a sentence and then off he goes.
That is clear, to be fair.
Some of them, they are hit and miss. Some of them are cack, but when they're good, they are absolutely the best.
Yeah. They are very, it's the whole, lump them all together when you talk about John Grisham. They're all very formulaic, but they're very good in their own way. It's like Pulp Fiction type works, but they just are very, very page turnable.
It's true. If you want to really nerd out on Jack Reacher, and I feel I may be pushing this too far, there's an amazing book called Reacher Said Nothing by a man called Andy Martin, who stalked Lee Child for the entire writing of one of his books. It's like a book DVD commentary. So he writes the book of Reacher writing one of his latest books, and it is utterly fascinating, the way that he does it, the way that he's constantly leaping up, lighting cigarettes, chewing his fingers, doesn't write for weeks on end, has a nervous breakdown. Like, it's really, really much like lockdown, to be honest. It works.
Yeah. Well, there we are. Maybe on the same day of every month, I will start doing a dog video. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Nice. Do the Lee Child. It's done him well.
All right, listen, Andrew Cotter, thank you so much for joining us, and happy lockdown. And I look forward to hearing you once again commentating on actual sports as well as dogs.
I'm going to start. I'm going to continue listening to this podcast. I'm going to start. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed all the nonsense. That's what good podcasts are. Good nonsense. That's
precisely
what they all are, aren't they?
Precisely so.
And there we are. Tell Cornelius Mendes as well. Tell him. Remember, for the director.
I mean, if you think we've got any other content for next week's Bill Tuesday, then you're absolutely wrong. That is front and center of the agenda.
We are all about the Cotter Tent. That's what we do.
And the Pepper Pod is available on all good podcasting applications and stores. I never know what to say about podcasts.
It's available everywhere.
Just get it.
It's just available anywhere. But there you go. Thank you so much, Andrew. It's been an absolute joy talking to you.
You're welcome. Cheers. Microsoft.
Oh, delightful. That was Andrew Cotter, Dave. I don't know if you know that.
Friend to the stars, Andrew Cotter.
Yeah. Friends. He knows all the Ryans and not enough about Jack Reacher, but he does now, as we all do.
I didn't know some of those things either. I'm a bit embarrassed. I didn't know that Lee Child wasn't going to be writing any more Andrew Cotter books.
Andrew Cotter
books. The Andrew Cotter series.
Yeah, the Andrew Cotter series when one man takes on his dogs. His brother's going to be doing it. But his brother is quite an accomplished author anyway, so apparently it's all going to be fine.
Andrew Grant, his brother's name is, but he's going to write under the surname Child. So same time tomorrow, we've got the comedian Beck Hill on tomorrow from our new Great Big Owl podcast, Corner Sessions. She's a wonderful woman, Beck Hill, so that'll be a lovely way to round off the week.
A beautiful end to a lovely week 6. Next week's going to be week 7 of lockdown, Dave. I'm enjoying myself far too much.
Yes, keep the smiles going.
Kind regards, and don't forget, guys, if you're feeling weak, just remember. I'm still dying. Bye. Bye now.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name.
GreatBigOwl.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.